Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
So Craig came into our show at the very end and said, hey, I'll offer you something, Evan. Pre-record a question for Rob Manfred, and we'll play it on the air. And I said, that's a great gesture. And Craig said, you can ask anything you want except, why do you hate baseball? Which, of course, I would never ask. It's more of a joke. So when the show ended, I went back into a back studio, and I did record a question. I listened to Rob Manfred's interview with Craig and Big Mac, and I never heard my question.
Oh.
Never heard it. So I was curious, are they ever going to bring
reneged.
This? Yeah.
I mean, he promised.
He made a promise. He didn't do it.
It was incredibly frustrating as somebody else who was waiting for the question.
So. I think a lot of people were. So Craig did address it after the interview was over. Here is his explanation for those that missed it on why he wouldn't play his favorite partner he's ever had in radio's question for Rob Manfred.
I was told by our producer, you cannot air the question.
He said it was too disrespectful, that Evan broke the rules kind of being respectful.
So again, I have still not heard the question.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm not going to listen to the question now either, because I don't care.
Right.
But I want Evan to know, and Tiki and Evan, who'll be on tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock after Boomer and Geo, that the only reason I did not allow his question to be played is that I was told, as Rob Manfred was walking in, do not play that question. So I can only imagine what type of... You know what? Douchery Evan came up with on his question. I was told beyond that, because I've not heard it, it was much more of a statement than a question.
Right.
All right. So on Evan. It's not
on
me.
Would you like a hint?
Would you like to hear? You have not heard the question, right?
I have not heard the question.
Now, I don't think anyone's heard the question. I think they did eventually replay it yesterday, and they did replay it this morning. But for those that have not heard my pre-recorded question, one question for Rob Manfred, you tell me, and you're going to be very honest.
I think you might have to fire Hoff as the producer of the Rico at this point.
I already did that. But I want you to be honest, and you, Sean, to be honest, because you guys pull no punches with me.
Yes.
Your thoughts on this question that I pre-recorded for the Commissioner of Baseball, Rob Manfred.
Mr. Commissioner, you know as well as I do that the players will never, ever, 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 ever accept a salary cap. Can you promise us loyal fans that you're not going to waste time pushing something on players they will never accept? Thank you.
Wait, that's not aggressive.
It is.
How?
That is beyond
me. Because you know he really wants to... Well, have a salary cap. And by the way, he knows he's not getting it. But it's why he has the Players Alliance. He has all these former players trying to help with the cause. It's not going to happen, though.
Well, but that's the thing. We're saying that until maybe it happens. If this is a big sticking point, he's got owners like Hal Steinbrück. And by the way, we're not even going to argue this right now. But
let's not argue the salary cap. Argue if that's an acceptable and fair question.
I think it's an acceptable question if you don't phrase it with "they're never ever ever ever
Why?
Ever."
They're
ever,
not.
Ever.
They're not. They're not. They're not. And sometimes,
just like Mikal Bridges wasn't going to the Knicks, Evan. Like they're not until that's the point.
Yeah, but Mikal Bridges did not want to go to the Knicks.
I understand that, but he thought the Nets. I'm just bringing that up as an example of Evan. I believe
it's and different. It's different with owners because with owners, it's going to ultimately come about money. So Mikal Bridges, money or draft picks. It was about something other than desire.
While you were on the current right side of history, in terms of like you believe that this is going to be a big run and a sticking point, saying never, ever, ever 14 times when you've had examples in the past already as somebody that said this
it's
will never
irrelevant
ever happen.
To if the question but, can be asked.
But you can't say it 15 what, times what? Like that and not think it's douche.
Is that did Craig come hey. On and say you can't Rob, say never, ever, ever 15 times? He never said that as a rule. He said there's one rule. Don't ask him why he hates baseball. I didn't do it.
But that's the equivalent. You're no, basically it's saying not. if you have this problem, you'd be hitting a Evan, all you have to say was, I believe and everybody believes they're never ever accepting a salary cap. Are you going to allow this to be a sticking point
no,
in Postless
no,
games?
No, because that's not the question is can you
then it's not douchey and you play it.
It should be played. Then they'll stop.
I'm Team Hoffman here, man. I'm Team Hoffman here.
I was listening to the morning show because everyone was giving their opinions. Mm-hmm. Let's see what, because the guy I respect the most is Gio. What did Gio say? Was my question acceptable?
I would have loved for that to be played for Manfred.
Yeah, that's got to be Craig 100% saying, oh, this is my show.
He would have loved for it to have been played for Manfred. And he's right. And you know why?
What was he going to say? What was Rob Manfred going to say?
Good thing you never brought me in with that schmuck.
No. What would he? What
about me, by the way?
I'm talking about, let's talk about the question.
Yeah.
What would he have said?
And that's the mistake that Hoff made. It would have made news. Because either he was going to deny a pledge, or he was going to make one and say, you know what, I won't do it.
That's the mistake.
They messed up. That's their fault.
That's the mistake you made.
I didn't make any mistake.
Because it actually is a worthy question. If you just toned it down a little bit, it still makes news and gets played.
I didn't make any mistake.
You cost us knowing the answer by being a douche.
I asked the question, and they got soft. That's their decision. That's their decision. But I stand by it because everything I said in the question is true. And don't tell me I was disrespectful. I called him Mr. Commissioner, and I ended it with a thank you. So how douchey be when I call? Did either of them call him Mr. Commissioner? Yeah.
Can you go brush your teeth? Your breath stinks. Thank you. Is that nice? Just because you say thank you?
Wow. So, Tiki, you thought it was acceptable.
I thought it was more than acceptable.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So, and Sean says it wasn't, and I break the tie. So 2-1.
All right. Great.
How did that dinner for you go, by the way?
I'm glad you asked. So,
did he say anything?
Yesterday, towards the end of the show, before Craig made the offer that he reneged on, we went around the room and said, what would you ask Rob Manfred? And so Tiki Barber had a specific question he wanted Rob asked.
Yes.
And to the credit of Craig, he asked Tiki's question.
Oh, but what you should have done. You should have just given it to Craig to ask, and then Craig would have put it in his own, you know, tamed down.
Well,
words.
Before you take down words, before you make that comment, yes. I want to play how you wanted the question asked versus the way Craig asked it to see if you find it acceptable. And, of course, we'll hear the commissioner's answer.
All right.
Here's what Tiki wanted Craig or Big Mac to ask. What would your one question be for the commissioner of Major League Baseball?
My question is, how are you going to, and again, this is boring to most fans, but it's interesting to me. How are you going to handle the financial discrepancies? And I know that's why you're pushing for it. Dodgers are exploiting the system.
All right. So that's what Tiki wanted. Mm-hmm. Here is how Craig asked the question to Mr. Commissioner.
What keeps you asleep more at night? The prospect of the Dodgers being a super team or the reality that there are still some franchises that are unwilling to get into the game and spend the type of money that it seems like you have to spend to be just competitive?
Are you okay with the way he asked it?
No, because it's... it's taking the... He doesn't have to answer about the Dodgers. It's honestly, because you don't have to answer the Dodger question when you give them two options of what to answer.
By the way, you're burying the lead on the Craig question. He made an idiom mistake. What keeps you asleep at night? It's good to be
is
asleep
that what he
at
said?
Night. Yes.
I didn't even hear that.
Can you play that one more time, Sean? I know this is a challenge for you. Go ahead.
What keeps you asleep more at night? The prospect of the Dodgers...
What keeps you asleep more at night?
What keeps you awake more at night?
So, Craig, I've got great news for you.
Yes,
you will
made
be
it.
On
you
this
made
week's
it.
Idiots with Idioms. Only because we played the clip. And in fairness to the commissioner, here is his answer to obviously the Craig version of the question.
I want to quibble with one word, unwilling.
Okay.
I think unable is really
Stop it right there. This is where I want to give Big Mac a lot of credit. Mm. Big Mac would eventually push back on that. I wouldn't have waited. And I would have been disrespectful because that answer pisses me off so much.
Just because they're saying unable.
Yeah. Oh, I would quibble with unwilling. It's unable. That would have been the part of the interview where Craig would have escorted me out. Because that is so freaking offensive for him to give this garbage. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to quibble. Shut up, bro. A quibble. You got billionaire owners that don't spend. Now, again, this is why Big Mac's awesome. And he is the future of the radio station. Big Mac waited for him to respond. And he did say, hey, I would take issue, very respectfully, with unwilling and unable. And brought up the Pirates as an example. So, Big Mac, if you're listening, I got great respect for you. I would have jumped off the table because that so effing pisses me off that this commissioner continues to say it. But I apologize. Let's let him actually, you know, answer the question.
Right.
I want to quibble with one word, unwilling.
Okay.
I think unable is really a better word. But having said that, I worry more about the latter. And I worry more about the latter because I think when you have a 162-game season, you have to think all the time and listen to your fans when they're saying, we don't feel like we have a chance to compete.
Right.
Because when people feel like they don't have a chance to compete, they check out on you.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And especially for baseball, where the butts in the seats matter.
I think it's absolutely true. It's about what you're going to do about it. Yeah. The last thing I do want to play from Rob, and by the way, if you want to hear the entire interview, it was very entertaining. I think it's on YouTube. It's on the podcast. You can check it out. But do it after our show. Listen to our show and then listen later. He was asked about realignment and about the Mets and the Yankees being in the same division, which is what Sean requested.
That's right.
What you wanted to hear. And this was the other thing. Now, this didn't cause me to jump off the table, but I was very agitated by Rob because he spoke out of one side of his mouth and then ended the answer by speaking out of the other side of his mouth. And I'll let you hear it so you can judge the confusion. Because I left the interview still not understanding what the hell Rob Manfred meant when asked fairly about the Mets and the Yankees eventually being in the same division for geography purposes.
You would realign. You would do it along geographic lines, which would could alleviate a ton of the travel burden that's on players. Remember, we ask our players 162 times in 186 days. So most of the play between 162 and 186, travel, right? Mm-hmm. So you can eliminate a lot of that travel, make it less burdensome, which would be a great thing in terms of player health and safety. And if you play geographically, we get in a postseason. We have those four window days that I love, right? You get four baseball games in a day. It's awesome. But when you think about the fans in the individual markets, you always end up with, because of the way we're set up, you get Boston versus Anaheim in one of the early rounds. So you're either going to be too late for the fans in Boston or too early. So if you realign geographically, you would look more like other sports where you play up east into the World Series and west into the World Series. And that 10 o'clock game on the West Coast that sometimes is a problem for us becomes a prime time game on the West Coast for the two teams that are playing. So there's a lot of advantages to it. I think if you did it, you'd probably be 8-4s, right?
Okay.
And I think you would try to keep the two team cities
separate.
You would. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So they would not be in the same division.
Yeah. That would be my thinking.
That answer made no sense.
Why?
He spent an entire minute, by the way, fairly, as much as I disagree, I do want to be fair, explaining the benefits of geographic realignment.
Yeah,
totally makes sense.
Yes.
For the players, for the travel, even the playoff thing makes a lot of sense. So he does this whole thing about basically, we're gonna realign geographically. As much as I disagree, he gave absolutely fair reasons for why.
Right.
And then he ends it by saying, but the Mets and Yankees won't be in the same division.
Yeah,
that makes absolutely no sense. He wasted our time with that answer.
No, he didn't, because I think, and by the way, he basically said there would be expansion, too.
Yes.
Because he said there'd be 8-4s, which is the NFL model, which is 32 teams. There's only 30 right now in Major League Baseball. So he gave you expansion without anyone responding to it. But the Giants and the Jets are right here.
Well, but what's the difference right now with geography? There's a National League East, there's a National League Central, there's a National League West. He didn't describe anything that was different. So
What did he say?
So I have no idea what the hell he meant by that.
So basically, he would separate conferences, but I think this kind of goes back to the NFL thing, keeping rivalries. You could easily just eliminate the Rays from the AL East, bring them down to a South.
Right.
Yankees don't have to live in a division with the Mets. It's the Blue Jays, it's the Red Sox, it's the Orioles. The Mets don't have to lose the Phillies. The Mets keep the Phillies, insert Washington there, and then, maybe it's Pittsburgh, and then you get those two things.
That's basically what it is right now, bro. What are you talking about?
But that's all he needs to do.
No, right. He did. Okay, are you changing?
I don't think it needs. Realignment doesn't need to be radical realignment.
But it's already realigned. It's already by geography. So unless, and maybe this is what he meant, but I don't know. I have no idea. We're going to use osmosis now.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is that in the playoffs? The AL East will take on the NL East, so instead of it being in a World Series, it would be in a divisional series? Is that what he meant? Because he just said, he just said Boston-Anaheim is bad. So I have no effing idea what he meant by this, and I'm deeply confused. I'm not angry, even though I'm raising my voice.
No.
I'm more just like, I have no idea what that meant.
I think he meant wild card divisional rounds, and then the championship series will be, not wild card, what's it called?
Divisional series, LCS?
LCS will be... will be bi-coastal.
Yeah, that's horrible.
I think you heard World Series would be bi-coastal. I don't think that's what's happening.
So let me get this straight, because we don't know the answer. We're going to speculate because Rob was very confused, I guess, in answering this. We are going to have Mets and Yankees not in the same division, but they'll face each other earlier in the postseason.
So
by the way, I think that's the dumbest idea ever, but that's besides the point. But it was just such a weird answer that doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so I thought this was like a pretty easy interpretation. I would have asked the follow-up, which I was screaming for Chris to ask. He literally...
Yeah, all Big Mac's fault. I agree.
No, but he literally referenced the other sports doing this. I interpret this as baseball is going to an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference.
Right.
That it's no longer going to be American League and National League, which, by the way, they've already started to do, right? By taking away the DH, you play everybody all year long. He literally said the words, like the other sports do, a West versus East, and you build towards the World Series. I think that the league is going to conferences, four divisions of four, all as right. opposed to leagues.
Here's how Craig can make it up to me, since he ditched my question. Since him and Rob are like buddies, I want him to call him up personally and just ask him on a follow-up, what the hell did you mean by realignment? Okay. I need to know.
Yeah, clarify the realignment.
Clarify the realignment, and we're all good. Even though it's all Pete Hoffman's fault eventually. Let's go to Larry down in Florida. What's up, Larry?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Not much. Hey, first off, let me start off. It's a pleasure to talk to you both. I own a pressure wash business down here, and I've been working nonstop every day just cleaning concrete. So I've been listening from the morning until night. So I've been listening to you guys and then Carlton. And I'm going to tell you right now, first off, he did you dirty by not asking the question.
Yep.
Secondly, when Manfred was there, you can tell he was tiptoeing around some of the things he was trying to hint at. McMonagle was really trying to get him to really answer some things. He didn't want to do it. He's doing a political game. I get it. But it's just a little frustrating. I did like they brought up the WBC.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the timing when these guys come in, because I have a little conundrum. I love the WBC, but I also love the Yankees. And, you know, obviously you got the fear of, like, the Edwin Diaz thing.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know how you can get around that, because the All-Star game is a huge marketing sell for the MLB, and so is the WBC. So there's really got to be something where they kind of come together and kind of agree upon. I guess that'll go with some of the when they do the lockout meetings and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, quick note on the Giants before I go. I am so sick and tired of hearing about Harbaugh. At this point, hire Rick Moranis and Little Giants. Get it done. Get it done.
You know what's funny, Larry? It's only been 3 days.
I know. That's so true. But it's gonna keep being a talking point until they hire somebody.
Yeah.
And we don't know how long it's going to be. We made our predictions yesterday. I think it's going to be more late, late January 19th, I think I said. But it could be quicker. I just don't think you're going to get clarity on enough of the guys who you want to interview. Like, actually interview, not the Zoom interview.
Yeah.
Actually interview until you have some time here.
He hit on the WBC, which is an event I enjoy as well. And I've thought about this a lot. I don't think there's ever a good time for it. Like, right now we complain about March because it's spring training and guys are building up, especially pitchers, so it doesn't feel real, it doesn't feel fair, there could be injuries and all that. If you do it during the All-Star break, it's the same thing, it's the middle of a season, that feels even more dangerous. Mm-hmm. The problem with doing it after the season, which I've always thought about, is no one will care.
Yeah, it's a Pro Bowl. It's the Pro Bowl in the NFL. No player wants to do that.
No player wants to do it, and I don't think any fan would want to do it. Like, I love baseball, right? Mm-hmm. It's my first love. When it's November, I'm good. I'm done. I just watched 9 months of it.
No, you're right. I think the only thing that made the Pro Bowl compelling was that it was in Hawaii. And so you just felt like you were touching this place on this planet that you just don't normally go to. And even if you're watching it from, I don't know, Dubuque, Iowa.
It was unique.
And you're just like, oh, that's Hawaii. There's football players in Hawaii. That's cool. They got the Lays. They got the Hawaiian shirts. They got all this other cool stuff. And the Hawaiian people loved it.
Yeah. No, they certainly did. Will in Union Square will try to clear up Rob Manfred's mess of a point on realignment. Go ahead, Will.
What's up?
Simply said, listen, Evan, I think you're a really smart guy, but sometimes you get so into your point that you don't see the other side.
That's very well said, Will. Very well said.
So what he's talking about is making it like the NBA and the NHL, where he's doing an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference. So you have the Eastern teams that are going to play in the playoffs, and then on the other side, you're going to have the Western teams that are going to play in the playoffs, and then they'll meet in the World Series.
So here's the thing, Will. I don't know if you're right. You may be right, and I guess this is my frustration. I don't know. We are assuming
you don't want that.
Well, I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
We are assuming, based on that answer, it was not clear. So that's the problem. And I understand I get stuck in my ways. I won't even deny that accusation of me. But Rob Manfred never made that clear. And I don't want to pick on Big Mac or Craig on a follow-up, because sometimes you're thinking about other things or the next question, and it's follow-ups are, like, they're important, but sometimes you just miss it, or maybe you interpret it a certain way.
Sure.
I'll talk to Big Mac when he gets in.
Or you're not paying enough attention, so you don't hear it clearly, and you just let it go,
or
as opposed to stopping and digging in.
Or Big Mac, like Will, said, oh, I get what he means.
Oh,
I did not get what he means. I don't think that answer was cleared by the commissioner.
If the commissioner literally says the words, like the other leagues do, we have a West and an East, and you play towards a championship between that, isn't that?
No.
I don't know how much clearer you need that.
I'll tell you why that's not true. The Knicks and Nets are in the same division. The Rangers, Islanders, and Devils are in the same division. It is odd to say we're going to realign geographically but keep teams out of divisions. It doesn't make sense. And to your point, Tiki, what? You asked, do I like it? No.
How does that make sense?
It's not like the NBA. The Knicks and Nets are in the same division.
Evan, yes, but you know who's not? The Los Angeles Lakers. And right now, the Anaheim Angels are in the same league as the Yankees.
I understand.
That's what he's talking about.
I don't know that's what he's talking about.
He said it.
And do you even? No, he didn't. And you even like that, by the way? The Mets are in.
Forget
the,
whether
the,
I like it.
The right. East and the Yankees are in the so East. But oh, by the way, they play in the first round.
Don't think football. Think basketball.
It's not basketball. The Knicks and Nets are in the same division. I'll
you
say it
keep
again.
Keep saying that, but right now the freaking Dodgers are in the Mets league. You get that's what the realignment
What's
is.
What's the point of the Mets and Yankees not being in the same division if they're in the same league or conference? What's the point? Why are we keeping them separate? Like, what the hell's the difference at this point?
Because
it doesn't
make
any sense.
Because they want because the NBA is only two divisions of seven. That's your problem. He wants to do the NFL model of four divisions of four. Maybe that's based on some kind of scheduling because it's 162 games, but it's splitting the country in 16 and 16.
I get that, but why are the Mets and Yankees
to
same
keep,
separate divisions then? Just put them in the same division at this point.
Keep your rivalries
keep
you
your
already have
rivalries.
Where you're playing those teams more throughout the year.
Right, so realignment is just moving a couple of teams on east of the Mississippi or west or whatever the Mississippi.
Right, think of the Marlins and Rays as the Arizona Cardinals leaving the NFC.
I got you. Yeah. I think it's the same thing as radical realignment. You're just putting a different name on it. So now I'll answer your question. Do I like it? No, I think it's stupid. I'd almost rather if
Why
you're
are you so gung-ho for the Yankees and the Mets to be in the same division?
I'm not. I would prefer not to. But if you're going to do a game where they can play in the divisional series or play in the first round.
No, they'll play in the championship series, the Eastern Championship Series. Like, that's what it should come down to.
Well, I don't think that's what would be the case, but okay. There's a lot of assumptions, and unfortunately, I blame Rob Manfred because now we're having a confusing conversation all because he never really clarified what the hell he meant.
I think, look, the difference is, is it a bracket, or is it, or do you reseed?
I have no idea. I don't even think he knows. And here's the truth, because Rob did say this at the end. He's going to retire after his next contract, which is in 2029. He's never even going to be involved in this because this will happen far after he's gone. Mm. So now that I think about it, he's irrelevant.
He could set the wheels in motion.
I guess so. All I know is I'm confused. There is a little bit of piece of baseball news for you. According to Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, Ketel Marte, whose name has been rumored a lot as a trade target, the Arizona Diamondbacks have decided to keep Ketel Marte. They will not trade him. So for Yankee fans and Met fans.
I kind of felt like he was already traded.
Yeah, no, because we heard so many rumors about
it. I know. I thought that already happened.
But he has not been traded.
There you go. And he is not going to be traded.
And he's not going to be traded. We'll get back to calls in a minute. 888-808-1019. Very simple. The Yankees should just sign Bo Bichette. Move on. He is a better fit, as I've explained many times before.
Younger.
Right-hand bat, younger, infield options. I would tell Scott Boras, I'm going to do better. I think Bichette's a better fit. Clearly, I don't think the Yankees agree because they've been pursuing Bellinger more. But this really feels like a Scott Boras, Pete Alonso, I am staying firm on what I want.
Yeah.
And the Yankees are saying, dude, we made you a good offer. I don't see you getting a better offer anywhere else. And this could be a standstill for a while. But my advice to Brian Cashman, just go sign Bo Bichette and tell Cody Bellinger and Scott Boras thanks.
Yeah, he might be overplaying his hand a little bit because we know not the inconsistencies, but some of the down seasons that he's had. You don't know if that's going to happen. You're willing to reward him because he was a great Yankee a year ago, but you can't be unreasonable and push him out until his year, 38? What is he, 30 right now? Going to be 31 during next year's season? Year 38 season? That doesn't make any sense.
So we have six football games this weekend. Two of them are rematches. One, obviously, is a divisional game between Chicago and Green Bay, so they obviously play twice during the regular season. They split them. In fact, when they play on Saturday night, it's going to be their third meeting in 6 weeks.
That's crazy.
Which is absurd.
That is.
And the weather for this game, there is snow in the forecast. Now, that's the good news. I have some bad news. The snow is supposed to stop by about 3-4 o'clock.
Damn it.
So it'll be cleared out.
Yeah, it's not an issue.
It's not going to be an issue. Why are you saying damn it? I thought you hate weather games.
So I hate weather games when they determine outcomes. On a Saturday night with like 15 drinks in me, I'd love nothing more than staring at that snow on a nice screen.
No, me too. I mean, it just feels old school football, especially between two iconic franchises in terms of their history of being around a long time in Chicago and Green Bay. But they have played twice this season, which is common. Obviously, if you face a divisional rival, you will have faced them twice. When you face a team once, and by the way, the other game, which is a rematch, is the Ram-Panther game, in which, remember, they played Week 13 and Carolina won. The history of the rematch, who do you think it points more towards, the team that won the previous game or the team that lost?
The cliche is it's hard, especially when it's a division game, it's hard to play a team three times, especially if it goes one way both times, because how do you beat a team three times in a season? But to me, I don't think it matters. It matters who's healthiest. and, you know, who is ultimately the better team when it comes to just a flat rematch. That's why when you look at the Rams and the Panthers, for instance, the Rams are the much better team.
Despite losing to them.
Despite losing. I mean, they had probably their worst game of the season in that Rams game. Matt Stafford threw maybe three interceptions, whatever. They had a bunch of turnovers, and they still had a chance to win that game. So I have no doubt that a highly focused Ram team is gonna destroy them. I think the Green Bay game is more equally matched than any game this weekend, and they're familiar with each other. So who has the advantage? I have no idea.
Yeah, I think in the Green Bay game, you throw it out because they split and they're division rivals, yes, and the Packers are banged up, and it's just I have no idea. I think in a lot of ways that's the most unpredictable game of the weekend. Yeah. But in history, the team that won the first game is likely to win the second game. All time, it is 87-68, which is pretty significant. And it's not surprising because you just hit on it. The better team usually wins.
Yeah.
Not always, but the better team usually wins.
Right.
So if you beat a team once before, mm-hmm, the reason you probably beat them is that you are better.
Right. But this is why it comes down to the division stuff when you play twice. They always would say, well, it's hard to beat them a third time. Well, why? You beat them twice already. Why would you not think it would be easy to beat them for the third time? And so,
if you beat them twice, exactly, you're 1,000% right. Like, you would think if you've beaten them twice, why wouldn't you do it again? It does lead me to an interesting thought.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting thought that just popped into my head in the last 35 seconds.
Which is?
How many times has Tiki Barber faced the team for a third time or a second time in a playoff game?
Mm.
Now, I may have done the research, which I guess defies the fact that I just thought about that in the last 30 seconds. So maybe I have a list. Maybe I've got all of Tiki Barber's playoff games right there in front of me, and I can see how many of them were rematches.
I mean, how many playoff games did I have? One.
You don't
two,
know that off the top of your head?
I don't, man. I want to say two, I want to say it's like six.
Do we count in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, the Super Bowl is a playoff game.
Seven games.
Seven, so six and then in the Super Bowl.
1997, you played the Minnesota Vikings. Very young Tiki Barber.
Yep.
2000.
Rookie Tiki Barber.
Rookie Tiki Barber. 2000, you played three games, the Eagles, the Vikings, and then the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
2002, you played the infamous game against the Niners. 2006, you played the game against Carolina. And then, '05 was Carolina.
Right.
2006, you played the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Now, Sean is still a rookie here. So he doesn't have it, so I'll do it for you. How much
No, we're calling him out right now. Lou Gower sabotaged me, and it needs to be on the record.
How did Loogie sabotage you?
Because we have a very simple system, Tiki. You could search any words of any title on any sound thing you want saved in a file.
Yes.
I have searched how much does Tiki, how much does Tiki know, how much does Tiki know about... How much does Tiki know about
Tiki? So it's not there listed as any of those things?
If it's not listed under any of those words, I'd love to know how this mutant now hosting at night saved this. He set me up to screw me. This was the one thing he knew would come.
Hmm. I mean, you may be right.
No, I don't think he set it up that way. I think he set it up because it was something that Evan just kind of came up with. And so it's probably under Evan.
Maybe. You know what? Sean, here's how you can make it up to all of us. Why don't you, in your best announcer voice... Give us the, how much does Tiki know about Tiki?
How much does Tiki know about Tiki?
Eh. It was okay.
How much does Tiki know about Tiki?
Southern.
You have had three playoff games in which you faced them previously before facing them in the playoffs, and two of them are deeply obvious.
Right, the Eagles.
The Eagle games. In 2000... What was your season series record against the Eagles before you played them in the NFC divisional round?
I'm going to say 2-0.
Nailed it! 2-0!
That's back when we dominated the Eagles.
In your final year, and what turned out to be your final game, in 2006, how did you do in the regular season against the Philadelphia Eagles?
1-1.
Nailed it again?
Yeah.
All right, this is...
I only remember because the Eagles made me want to not play football anymore.
Wow.
Jeremiah Trotter used to... beat my ass.
I understand.
Brian Dawkins.
What is the other playoff game you played in which it was a rematch? You've got a couple of choices. You got the 97 game against the Vikings, the championship game against the Vikings, the Super Bowl against the Ravens, the Niners game in 02, or Carolina in 05. One of them was a rematch.
It wasn't San Francisco.
Hmm.
Carolina?
It wasn't San Francisco.
Was it San Francisco?
It was San Francisco.
What did I do in the first game?
It was week one on a Thursday night.
Oh.
The first ever Thursday night opener.
That's right.
That's the first ever Thursday night game?
It's funny. I remember that Thursday night opener. You could have asked me to give you 25 choices. I would not have remembered we played the 49ers.
You scored a touchdown in this game.
I would not have remembered we played the 49ers in that game.
You ended up losing that game to the San Francisco 49ers by a final score of 16-13.
Oh, what an ugly game.
So the results tell you, I guess, that it would matter because you would lose to them again. The Niners would hit a game-winning field goal with 10 seconds to go by Jose Cortez. And actually, you were on the field for the final play. It was one of those desperation. Uh-huh. He completed a pass, Kerry Collins, to Tiki Barber. You then lateraled it to Ron Dayne, who then committed an illegal forward pass, and the game was over.
Right.
You don't remember any of that?
I don't remember that at all.
You did a pretty good job outside of that.
Right. Well, that's because it's the playoffs. You remember the playoffs.
Oh, no doubt. So that's the only time. So really, history tells you that. I guess it kind of matters.
It does.
2-0 against the Eagles, you beat them a third time.
Right.
0-1 against the Niners, lose to them again. 1-1 against the Eagles, you lose to them.
Right.
Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. John is in Wayne, New Jersey. What's going on, John?
What's going on, boys? Yep. Real quick, just before I ask my question to Evan, you know, you guys were talking earlier about the Harbaugh thing with the Giants. It's just funny how this has become so much less about the coach and just so much more about, can this franchise, for the first time in a decade, not trip over their own feet? Because if they don't get Harbaugh, right, there's still some pretty good guys out there. Right. Stefanski, McCarthy, he's boring, he's got a great track record, but like, I'm a Giants fan and I'm kind of there with you. And it's interesting to me because C-Mac alluded to this, I think, a day or two ago, and it sucks to say it out loud, but it's true. Like, this is one of the last big decisions Mr. Mara may ever make for the Giants. And the Giants have like a lineage of being like football family oriented, whether it's mm-hmm. the Youngs or the Tishes or the Maras, and the Harbaughs are that football family.
Right.
So I'm just really curious to see how far are they going to push the envelope on this one to get it done. And if they don't get it, like, the optics of the franchise for the fan base, I think, are going to be bad. But what ultimately will decide if the decision was right is what happens on the field. So it's going to be really weird how this all shakes out. But let's see what happens. Now, my question for Evan, who I've never seen in the same room as Danny Wolf, and for those of you who don't know who Danny Wolf is, which is 99.5% of the people listening,
right.
Danny Wolf plays for the Nets. So look him up. He looks just like Evan. But Evan, if you could banish one person off the face of the earth, would it be Woody Johnson or Rob Manfred?
Oh, it's actually very easy.
Who's got a permanent trip to Mars Colony?
It would have to be Woody Johnson. Rob Manfred has done good things. And I know maybe it doesn't sound that way because I had such an aggressive question mm-hmm. for him or some of his answers annoyed
and
me.
You don't like realignment, the thought process, even though you're right, it's years and years away.
It is. But I love the pitch clock. And I interviewed Rob twice.
You love the regular season Manfred man.
No, I hate that. That's one of the dumbest rules in history of baseball.
It helps the games get done faster. Who cares?
I don't like that rule. I hate that rule.
Because Evan's the one person left that wants to sit there for 18 and
a half. I just don't think it's real baseball. But that's besides the point. I'm actually trying to pay him a compliment right now. And you guys are bringing up more things I hate.
Well, I mean, just trying to balance the ledger here.
I'm trying to give him a compliment. I love the pitch clock. I went back to the last time I interviewed Rob, which was a decade ago with Joe Beningo in 2015. And one of the things I asked him was, when are you going to impose a pitch clock?
Really?
Yeah, because I've always been a big pitch clock guy.
Yeah.
And his answer was, not anytime soon.
Right.
Which turned out to be true because it took 7 years.
Right. But you grew up watching baseball and you didn't need it.
You didn't need
pitchers just pitch fast.
Correct. And batters didn't step out constantly. Yeah. So that's an aspect of something I really like. I actually defend him on his handling of the Astros.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
He had to give immunity to get the information, and I thought it was important.
Yeah, but what did he do with the information?
He put the scarlet letter on them, which I think is more valuable than any kind of fake penalty. I'm defending him on that. See, I'm not universally against him. I can't name good things Woody Johnson's done. And that sucks. I don't want to dislike him. I don't know Woody personally, unlike Rob Manfred. I've never had the chance to interview him.
Two back-to-back appearances in the AFC Championship.
It was a decade and a half ago.
Doesn't matter.
I'm giving Rob a compliment from something he did a few years ago. And also, I'm a Jet fan, and he's caused such damage and pain to us as Jet fans. And here's the biggest problem. I don't trust him to get it right. And that's where... You're very respectful, but if I ask you just honestly, do you trust Woody Johnson to get this right? You're going to have a tough time saying yes.
No, you're right. No, because I don't. Now, maybe Aaron Glenn is that guy, and we're just short-sighted because of how bad this season was and how uncompetitive the last 5 weeks of the season were. But you hope that Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji feels right. Like, he feels like that's the right, he made the right decision. And... they have their GM. But we kind of almost said the same thing about Joe Douglas. Right? He made a couple of really good moves.
I know.
And we're like, man, this dude is the man. He got rid of a disgruntled Jamal Adams and got all these picks. And, oh, it's going to be fantastic. Now, look how he uses those picks. It's going to be all. And then you're like, oh, wait.
It's kind of like that. It's honestly kind of like Joe Shane.
No doubt.
You defend his drafts, but the record's your record.
Yes. 100%.
Mark is in Brooklyn. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Evan, total side note, but I'm just going to say it. Bichette makes way too much sense for the Yankees. I've said it all offseason, but that's not, right. It's not my point. It's almost annoying how much sense it makes, but that's not my point. You know what? My point is this, though, boys. I think ultimately, I don't know if you saw Jackson Dart's quote in a private conversation yesterday at the Ole Miss game where he was asked by somebody who's going to be, which is creepy, and that can't be, and whoever did that in the New York Post needs to do better. But anyway, I believe it's going to come down to Stefanski or Harbaugh. And I think that if it does come down to Stefanski, we can't really let the, what do they call it, the bloom off the bud or whatever, the bloom off the rose, because it's still a great hire. And I think you look around, you know, if these two guys didn't shake loose and it was a first-year guy like Minter, or if it was someone like Lou Anarumo, which I think makes a little bit too much sense for the Giants, for better or for worse. Or, you know, some of these other guys, it's like, you're not confident. You know what I mean? If anything, it's you're going off of hope. But the fact that we have our floor is Kevin Stefanski, if you will, I don't think that should be any lesser of a hire because we didn't get Harbaugh.
I agree with you.
Listen, if he wants to go down to Miami and retire early, that's on him. I guess his daughter goes to school down there, so whatever. That, do what you got to do. But that's not a good situation. There's no – and I, one last thing, because I know Craig's going to try this. If he does go to Miami, there's not going to be any, oh, the Giants have changed, the old – no, Miami's not in a good situation. He's not going to win there. Miami sucks.
They I think you're wrong by bringing up Miami sucks, he won't win there. It's about the Giants. I don't think Giant fans are going to necessarily care if they're successful in Miami or not. Where it would feel different is this was the perfect guy and you didn't get him. And I think he would be right about that. I said that at the top of the show. And Kevin Stefanski is not a bad hire. I want to make that clear. I heard our old friend Tommy Lugauer. He hates the idea of the hire. I don't think it's bad.
He thinks he's Brian Daboll. Tommy thinks he's Dabes, meaning success quote, you know, success rate and what he's done as a head coach in this league. He's just Brian Daboll. He should be a coordinator. That's what Tommy's
thinking. And I think he's too extreme, like usual, but I'm also not as high on him as you guys are. Like, well, I think that it's a good hire, but it's not John Harbaugh. Okay, so that's the point. It's not John Harbaugh.
Okay, look, here's what I would argue. No, you're right. He's not John Harbaugh. That's John Harbaugh is one of one. Actually, he's probably one of two because Mike Tomlin's in that same category. Yeah. But you know what I mean. And I understand that people want to talk about the McCarthy stuff. It's just different. We talked about it earlier. It's different, and you know it just as well as I do. I think if you're going to compare Kevin Stefanski to Brian Daboll and say, oh, he's a good offensive mind, he has all of these things, then you have to then go dig into why this didn't work with Dabes. Why didn't it work with Dabes? Sean, why didn't it work?
I thought he just didn't mesh well, didn't have the right personnel, didn't have a quarterback forever.
That, but what else?
He cared too much about outside perception.
That and what else?
They didn't win enough games?
He's emotional as hell.
Oh, okay.
He was.
Boy, we listed a lot of reasons.
But they're all there. Like
that's a good one.
He made a ton of decisions off emotion. You just saw it. You saw it in games. You saw it in Denver, for Christ's sakes. It still pisses me off all these weeks later. And so the thing that makes Kevin Stefanski different, who did it with a significantly inferior offensive roster, with a team that has a quarterback who they have to pay $80 million this year. Not like cap hit. He's making $80 million. How the hell do you build a team when you got a guy making $80 million? You just can't. And so, but what Kevin Stefanski never showed was unnecessary emotion. He was always calm in those moments. And I think that's what this team needs because they have the talent. Like, you got to get loud and mad and scream and yell when Daniel Jones is throwing stupid passes and you got to force him to say, make better effing decisions. Right?
Yeah.
This team is more talented than any of those that they've had. And so I need someone who's going to approach it with a calm demeanor.
John is in Massapequa. What's going on, John?
What up, John?
You know what? If Cody Ballinger won 7 years, he can go kiss my ass, okay? He is not worth 7 years.
And he's not
he
getting
it. He can go find a team that will pay him 7 years and go be miserable and, you know, go be miserable on the Mets who will give him 7 years.
No, they won't,
and watch
though.
The Yankees in the playoffs.
Mets aren't signing
just
anybody.
Like Juan Soto did last year.
But, John,
go be miserable.
John.
Go get your money. Go ahead.
I know you want to rip the Mets, and I understand, but I'm going to rip the Mets from the other angle.
Because they're not signing anybody.
They're not signing Cody Bellinger to a 7-year deal. They're not signing Cody Bellinger to a 6-year deal. Keep going with me.
Five.
They're not signing him to a 5-year deal. Maybe 4. And here's the problem. The Yankees have probably already beaten that.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mets aren't signing Cody Bellinger unless the Yankees move on from Cody Bellinger. And then Scott and Cody are going to be in a rude awakening. Because if the Yankees
didn't this happen before with him?
With Cody Bellinger in negotiations?
Didn't he have one of those where he had to take a 1-1?
He did with Chicago, but I think it was more because he had a disappointing season.
Right,
so he ended up signing like that 3-year opt-out laden deal. But he doesn't appear to have a market. A strong market, I should say, outside of the Yankees. So if he wants a 7-year deal and the Yankees aren't going to budge and they shouldn't budge, he's not getting it anywhere else.
Right.
So if the Yankees are smart, they pivot immediately to Paul Bichette, who is reportedly meeting with the Phillies, which, yes, scares me as a Met fan, but I've always thought he's a better fit, as a previous caller said. And if you can bring him in, bye-bye, Cody. I got Jason Dominguez. I got Spencer Jones. As much as you may not like it, Sean, I got Trent Grisham on a 1-year deal.
Well, they're just crapshoots. That's the issue.
I get you.
You want to position your team to win now, be in that win
but
now.
But I'm replacing the certainty of Bellinger, or what you think is certainty of Bellinger, with the certainty of Bo Bichette.
Not defensively, though.
But he's also very different. He's an infielder, and he's not great at shortstop.
I know.
But I can see him playing some shortstop, some third, some second, depending on what happens with Jazz. It gives you Grace versatility. He's another right-hand hitter. He's younger. Like, Evan, he hits for a high average. Like, come on.
I would be very thrilled with Bichette, but have you ever heard the words run prevention? I mean, the Yankees need to focus on that a little bit.
So you'd prefer Bellinger over Bichette?
I think I'd prefer Bichette because I actually believe he could hit leadoff for this team.
So why are you arguing with me?
Because
it's kind of weird to me.
Because I don't think it's like...
We're allowed to agree, you know.
No. But you could agree, but also, I don't think it's a celebratory, yeah, we got Bichette, but you know, how about this? How about both?
Well, yeah, yes. And I think if the Yankees, and this is an easy rant for the Yankee fan, if you want to beat the Yankees, you sign both.
It has nothing to do with George being alive either, but it's just the truth. They're both needs.
I am not disagreeing with you, and I think Met fans could do the same thing about 5 free agents. But if we're being realistic, which I'm trying to do, it's probably one or the other. But the negative on Bellinger from Cody and Scott's side of things is I don't think there's a robust market for him outside of the Yankees.
Right.
And so, Yankee fans, the Yankees are doing the right thing. You guys want them to just... I argued with Met fans about this with Pete last year. You want them to just give Pete what he wants when there's no market for him?
But there's a difference here with Bellinger. If there was a team that popped up, I don't know who the hell it would be that go... The White Sox are spending now. You know what? We are going to go 7 years. Where are the Yankees at, though? Like, are they at 5? Because then at that point, go the 7 years. You know what I mean?
No.
Why?
Because it's stupid.
Because you're going to be paying a guy who's not your star for years that don't matter. You can do that with Aaron Judge. You can do it even with Giancarlo Stanton. But you can't do it with Cody. You can't do it with multiple players on your team.
And not only that, T, because you're right, don't do it until you have to do it.
That's all I'm saying.
So like Pete Alonso, I'll give you a great example. The Mets played it right last year. They waited, they waited, they waited. They said, dude, you have no market. Yep. You have no market. They got him back on a great deal. This year was different. He had a market. Would I have given Pete Alonso 5 years last year? Probably not. I didn't need to. Once I got notice that he was going to get one this year.
And there was no QO with it.
And there's no, I'm going to do it. I don't have to do it till I have to do it. Right now, you don't have to do it because no one else is offering.
Right.
I agree.
What's the market for Cody?
I don't know.
Exactly. It's the Yankees and maybe the Mets if the Yankees move on.
They should not bid against themselves, no doubt about it.
And that's what the Mets were smart to not do last year with Pete Alonso.
The Yankees bidding against in terms of Bellinger, and I'll give you a few teams who I think are involved, are the Dodgers and the Mets. You know what the Mets and the Dodgers have in common? They're not giving him 7 years or 6 years or probably 5 years. The Mets and the Dodgers are probably thinking big money, shortish-term contract.
Right. You're either being prudent business-wise or you're not desperate. You know who was desperate last year? The Blue Jays. They bid against themselves for Vlad Jr. Now, did it work? Sure. But you did it, he's 27 years old. 28 years old, whatever he is, it was worth it for Vlad.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.